Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Seneca series. And we have with us today the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. We are without a few of the sisters, as well as Mother Gabriel, who are on retreat and I think are expected back later this evening. But we have who is supposed to be here today, that I'm sure of. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and we're going to be using a supplication. We're going to be using the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. This is the soul to the glorious Queen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be here. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Truly. Let me bring the sisters in right now, because otherwise I'm going to forget. My mind is like a sieve. I'm going to ask them to unmute themselves, and then I'm going to pin them. Sounds nefarious, but I'm going to just so that we see them and not me. That's a good thing. Okay, let me just go back to this. And here we go. Hello, sisters. Hello, Sister Magdalena.
Hello, everybody.
Emma, Sister Teresa. That's who I see right now on the couch. You know, there used to be a show for kids called The Comfy Couch. And I think of that every time I see all you on the couch. Now, as the sisters begin to grow in numbers, we're going to have to get like one of those horseshoe couches that, you know, sort of wrap around so we can fit everybody. But thanks for making the time today. We know we're without a few sisters, without Mother Gabriel. But again, those who are supposed to be here are here. God's will is always done in all times. You know, one thing that I was thinking about, you know, we've been talking about a lot of things lately on Radio Maria and on different programs. We've been talking about suffering. Of course, we've been talking about charity, which is the cornerstone of all the virtues. We learned that. One thing, well, first of all, before I get into that, let me give a quick update on Father Celso. I'm sure everyone is interested in that. Father is home. He was released from the hospital. I think it was yesterday. He's resting. He has to take some time off. So he's asked us to do a few replays, play archives for today's oblate ceremony later this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern time, as well as our Monday, the role of the priest in the divine will, and on Tuesday, just so Father can get his strength back and be back in full force. So that's the update. We do have a page on the website, AAA Father Celso Update. It's the first page on the website at queenofthedivinewill.org. And if anything changes, we will post updates there. Instead of you having to email me and me email you back, because I exhausted my emails 2 days ago. I went through my whole limit and I was paralyzed. I couldn't send any emails. So I think that's the best and maybe most appropriate way we can handle if anyone has a question, because you can access that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sisters, one thing, you know, we try to walk into this session with a theme, and of course, everything is related to the divine will. It's like one big umbrella. But one thing that, thinking about Father Celso and of all the teachers that we have, and I'm sure everyone can support me in this, I don't think anyone speaks about Luisa as much as Father Celso does. And we have that phrase, he says, who is this Luisa? Like, as we get to know her, who is she? And we're going to be launching a website soon, if I can find the time, called lovelouisa.org. And on that website will only be information pertaining to Luisa, as found in the Book of Heaven, in the Virgin Mary, in the Kingdom, and the Hours of the Passion. So hopefully we can get that up and running in the next week or two. That's the goal. We'll see if that be God's will. But I came across something. I'm not sure if I missed it or if I read it. I don't remember it. But this was volume 21, March 16th, 1927. And I think it answers that one of the ways we can answer that question. Who is this Luis and why is she so important? Yes, she was given the divine will to give to us, but really, why is she so important? And I think this encapsulates it, perhaps. I'm going to read just a bit of it in the beginning, four lines, if I may. Volume 21, March 16th, 1927. Quote, "Now, so that these retyings that my humanity," blessed Lord speaking, "so that these retyings that my humanity formed between the kingdom of my will and creatures might have validity, may have life, and may have recognition, it was necessary that I choose one creature who, being entrusted with the special office of making known the kingdom of my will, would bind to herself all these retyings that my will had formed with my humanity." And here we go. "Receiving, Luisa, receiving the power to transmit these retyings of my kingdom to the other creatures." End quote. So she's been given the authority. She's been given the graces to be able to convey this gift to us. That is who Luis is. Now that I've found this passage, again, volume 21, March 16th, 1927, please read the entire passage, but that's just a little snippet of it. But yeah, she received the power to transmit these retyings of God's humanity and of his kingdom to us, the other creatures. So that's how astonishing Luis is. And just as our mother had the greatest role that a soul could have to bring our blessed Lord in the flesh to us and bring us redemption. Luisa brings us the air of sanctification. So I think that's a nice way of answering the question. Who is Luisa? Well, Luisa was empowered to transmit the retyings of God's kingdom, the gift of living in the divine will, to all the other creatures. End quote. How astonishing. That's another word that Father Celso loves to use, astonishing. That's a great word. Hello, Sister Magdalena. How are you? Kumusta ka na?
Mabuti lang po. At nandito po kami lahat. Well, all of us, the San Marino sisters, I'm so glad that they're here to join us. It's easier.
Yes, it's so refreshing. I miss that. I see Sister Teresa
there.
Yeah,
this is a reunion.
Now we have Sister Gemma is there. Now, Sister Benedicta, yes. is she somewhere in the facility?
I think she's here.
Turn the camera.
She's here. Okay. Okay, good. So we have everybody. Wow, that's
Scholastica is here on the other side of the room.
Scholastica's here too. Wow, wonderful. Well, yeah. We're going to pan the camera later, I'm sure, to see everybody. But this really caught me. I think Sister Gloria is the IT professional. Fine. There, Sister Benedicta. Hi, and you, Sister Benedicta, I think just recently celebrated the birthday too, didn't you, Sister?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, she finally turned 21, Sister Benedicta. How about that? That's great. Great news. Hello, Sister Scholastica. So we're here today. We've got some time. We can really take our time. We can methodically go through anything you'd like to speak of, because again, everything is tied with the divine will to Luisa and to each other. You know, we talked about this. Anything you read, any little snippet in any passage, encapsulate the entire passage. And that goes for any passage, encapsulate the entire volume, and all the volumes, of course, bring to life all 36 volumes, all under one huge, big umbrella. And what does an umbrella do? It protects, right? It protects from the rain in the secular world. Well, this divine will umbrella protects us from everything that's out there that wants to see us not do well or not to be in God's image and likeness. Hello, yes. Sister.
Hello. And actually, you know, when you mentioned about who is Luisa and you were trying to, you know, you were reading the passage and I started to use my imagination and exactly asking myself, to me, it's, yeah, transmitter. So what does it mean to me also is that she is the messenger. She's the apostle of the divine will. She transmits the message from Jesus, and not only the messenger through her writings, but also the way she lived. Not that she did it on her own, but Jesus used her body, her intellect, everything that she is or she was, including her fallen nature, you know, because she is one of us. It's not like Blessed Mother who is immaculately conceived. So in every way, Luisa lived the life, and she was able, because of that, she was able to transmit the message, the lessons, the teaching. And one speaker mentioned also that Luisa is kind of like the magnifying glass that that presents what was hidden or what was not understood. Yes, you're showing us the magnifying glass. That was there, but was not fully understood. That's why it was sort of kind of like a secret, you know. But it wasn't secret because it was forbidden, but it was not fully understood. You know, I was meditating on a passage because on line of that, the divine will, 36 volumes, but it's all about God's love for us. And what do we do with that love? And what did Jesus says to Louisa, what hurts him the most is the lack of thanksgiving. And thanksgiving connects us to the Eucharist, which I'm sure one of the sisters probably will mention that later. But I would just like to touch on gratitude, because this is really what we are called to do. There's nothing we can do to give back to God except our gratitude. And so there's a passage on volume 4, September 4, 1901. And I'll go straight to what Jesus told Louisa. And he said, "My beloved," this is September 4, 1901, volume 4. "My beloved, my heart burns for the honor of my glory and the good of souls. For each good they omit, my glory and their souls receive a void. Even if they do no evil, by not doing the good they could do, they are like those empty rooms, which, though beautiful, contain nothing to be admired, nothing which strikes one's gaze, and therefore their owner receives no glory. If then they do one good and neglect another, they are like those rooms all vacated in which one can see just a few objects with no order. My beloved, come and take part in these pains, in the ardors which my heart feels for the glory of the divine majesty and the good of souls, and try to feel this voice of my glory." Now, I'll pause here for a little bit because I stopped, especially on the part here where it says, even if they do no evil. So a lot of people, I've heard people, "I don't need to go to church. I don't need to do extra stuff for church because I'm not doing anything bad," you know. But Jesus clearly says here that if we don't do what we are supposed to do, it's just like God gave us this life. But if we don't do anything about it, it's like an empty room. It's empty life, basically. I heard a preacher back in the past mention about God gave us our life as our gift from him. But what do we give back to God? What we do with our life is our life back to him. And I'll continue the message here. He said, "You can do this by letting not a single moment of your life pass without being united to my life. That is, in all your actions, be they prayer or suffering, rest or work, silence or conversations, sadness or joy, and even in the food you take. In sum, in everything that may, and everything that may happen to you, you will place the intention of giving me all the glory which others should give me in that action, and of making up for the good they should do, but do not, intending to repeat these intentions, for as much glory as I do not receive, for as much good as they omit." So there we go. Mother always talks about rounds, acts and rounds of the divine will. This is what Jesus wants us to do, to never stop thanking him, whether we are praying, working, in everything that we do, even in our eating and our sleeping and our drinking, because by doing that, we're giving him honor and glory and gratitude. It's not very hard to do. And you know what? If I continue reading on September 5, 1901, maybe we'll say, you know what? I can't do that. I can't be perfect. I cannot do that perfectly. How can I perfectly think of God as I do these things? And Jesus says in this, September 5, 1901, "True love makes up for everything." He said to Louisa, "My daughter, courage, do not fear. Love will make up for everything." So basically, we do all of these things, acts and rounds in the divine will, not only because we want something, you know, like just consciously, the formula, whatever, but it needs to be done out of love. First of all, in order, love of God and love of neighbor and our love self.
Uh-oh, we lost your video, sister.
The importance of Thanksgiving. And the volume is volume 18, August 15, 1925. And Jesus told to Louisa, "My daughter, all created things were made for men, and all of them run toward men. The light of the sun departs from the height of heaven of the heavens in order to find the creature, illuminate him and warm him. The water works in order to reach even into the human beloved, the human bowels, to quench his thirst and to refresh him. The plant and forms its fruit to give itself to man. Yet who says a thank you to my will? So for us, probably it's so simple to look around us and to see the nature, the people who are around us, and we give them for granted. It's normal, it's our life, but all is a gift from God. Last time at the catechism, we teach the prayer, the glory be to the Father, etc., to the children. And I ask myself, how can I explain the means of this prayer to the children? And we told them that we receive all the life, all the things, the good and all the things, all the experience in our life that we have. We have to consider them like a gift from God. So this is the means of glory, to recognize that all is from him, is a gift, and all is for our good, for our life. And this is important to realize that each thing that is for us, for the natural life, the human and natural life and the spiritual life, it comes from God. So we have to. It's the first duty of the man to give glory to God, to recognize that is all his gift. And after he said, my will operating and fulfilled in the creature, and my will operating in created things, kiss each other as they meet, they harmonize. Created things feel honored with the serve when they serve a creature who is animated by the same will that forms their very life. On the other hand, my will takes the attitude of sorrow in those same created things when it has to serve one who does not fulfill my will. This is why it happens that many times created things place themselves against men. They strike him, they chastise him, because they become superior to men. Yes, because all is fulfilled by the will of God. But also in us, we should be full of the will of God, but many times doesn't happen. And this is the reason for what the things in creation are superior to us. And we have to, with the gift of divine will, thanks to Luisa, this is the rule of Luisa and this big project of God, is to come back in our real position, in our relation with God, and in our relation with all the universe, all the creation. And this is connected with another passages from volume 36, August 15, 1938. And one point Jesus said, then he's speaking about the Feast of the Assumption. Since my fiat possesses the virtue of bilocation and repetition, doing again and again without ceasing everything it does, so the great lady feels these divine lives multiplied within herself. At this point, I ask to myself, what we feel in ourselves? We feel the will of God, the divine lives, or all the things that we live in our life like an oppression. It is our, in one sense, we fall two times with the original sin, with the sin that we usually commit, and with this real problem, we make ourselves in a bad position that all the things oppressed us. This is not good. We have to realize that the real calling of God. We have to live like children of God, not like slave of ourselves. And he continues. But that sometimes Jesus allowed us to have this kind of experience, because we have to realize not only in theory, but in our profound souls, that we have not allowed other things to oppress us. And then I continue to read. It said, "You must know that the divine lives she possesses are so great and so many that upon entering heaven, they crowned the whole celestial region. And being impossible to contain them, they filled the whole creation as well. Therefore, there is no place where her seas of love and power do not flow." So the emptiness that we create with our no thanksgiving, we should have thanks God. So we create an empty space. This empty space is fulfilled by Our Lady. So we have to do one thing. We have to repeat, "Hey Mary, full of grace, stay with me. Give it to me, the life of God," because she did it. She and also Luisa did it. And he continues, "Therefore, and whenever we feel ourselves being loved and et cetera, they say, this is why she can give her God to all. So she can give to us because she possesses him. Even more, when she sees a creature disposed to receive our will, this our rule, to dispose ourselves with the sacraments, the grace, all the things that we have to do for grow spiritually. Even more, when she sees a creature disposed to receive our will without losing one of our divine lives, she has the virtue of reproducing from within these divine lives which she possesses yet another of our divine lives to give to whomever she wants." Whomever she wants. She has power on us. She has power on all creation. "And the Virgin Mary Queen is a continuous prodigy. What she did on earth, she continues in heaven. And every time we go and act, we are connected with her through grace, through the baptism. And especially when we go to Mass, we have to ask her, give us the divine life." I pass.
Okay, no, that was great. And Sister Teresa, you mentioned a couple things. Beginning ingratitude. And I know Jesus explains to us that in his humanity, ingratitude was the greatest suffering that he endured. That lack of thanksgiving. You also mentioned about the voids, the voids that we create, and there's a good void and a bad void. The void that God created is good. That was create empty space to house him, so that we have a place to place him in our soul. But the bad voids are those missed opportunities, like you mentioned, to give honor and glory to God on the level of God. And those must be filled. They must be filled before anyone can enter heaven. So I think that's really important. And God's giving us the opportunity to do it now on earth while we're living in these bodies. So that, as he says, if we do that successfully, we could avoid purgatory. So again, these are extraordinary promises that our Blessed Lord makes and our Blessed Lady makes. And then Sister Magdalena, when you were saying, you were talking about, stepping in the breach, we have to do it. We have to do for others that they don't know to do, they can't do, or they don't want to do. And I remember Father, and you also mentioned about keeping our spiritual life. We must never neglect that. Father Iannuzzi says, when things start to get very difficult, very bad out there, you must keep your spiritual prayer life. You must not, to the best of your ability, change that, because that's what's going to be our fortitude. And then last but not least, you mentioned our Blessed Lady speaking about secrets. And, when we hear the word secret in our modern day vocabulary, that usually has a nefarious connotation, it's usually a negative, but actually this is very positive. In fact, Our Lady even defines it for us in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number one. She speaks about it. She gives us the definition of the spiritual language of heaven, of what she means by secret. She says, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So in essence, if she's divulging a secret, that's actually a very subtle compliment that we're ready to receive it. Beautiful, beautiful sharing. Thank you. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello. Sister Maddalena started saying that the divine will is an act of love. And actually today I was reading right that in volume 29, April 24th, 1931, almost at the end of the passage, it say, my daughter, the breath, the heartbeats, the circulation of the blood of creation is our love, adoration, and glory. We placed it in what we are in ourselves. Our nature is most pure love, and our sanctity is so great that what this love produces is nothing other than profound adoration and perennial glory to our divine being. So in putting out the creation, we had to put what we possess, nor could we put things that did not belong to us. Therefore, the heartbeat of creation is love, and it is palpitates, and as it palpitates, it pearls it with new love that given it the race of the circulation repeats incessantly. Adoration and glory to our creator. Now, if the creature goes around in the created things, placing her love, she places her own and takes our love and makes new love arise to wait for her again in order to receive and to give its love. And then when I read this last few words, I was thinking, it was still morning here, and I was thinking, it came up in my mind when Jesus, everything that he created is love. So he created food, it's love, and then we eat his love, and then I was thinking, Sister Maddalena was cooking today, and say, wow, she's cooking the love of God, and this love she spread it to all of us, and we enjoy and give it back to Jesus, and it's so true. That is only with food, but of course, if you look outside of your window, you can see the mountains and everything, and you see all this love coming to you, and then you take all that love. But sometimes, especially living in this world, we are so busy. Everyone is so busy that we don't even notice all these things. We are used to it. We live in a beautiful country that we sometimes don't even notice the color of the trees, the color of the leaves, because I give it for granted, but I never stop and look at the sky, look at the leaves, thinking that is the love of God for all of us. And I think I should start doing it. Mm-hmm. Looking around and see all this beauty, because if we start looking at these little things that they are not little at all, maybe we also see all this beauty in the people, especially the people who are around us. And then furthermore, it say, now you must know that our works are full of life. Our creative strength has the virtue of placing the vital seed in all the works we do, and of communicating it to the creatures who makes us full as use of them. Creation is packed with our creative works. Redemption is an immense field of our action done so that they might bring to creatures the life of the good that they contains. So we are surrounded by the magnificence of our works, but we have the sorrow that these works are not taken, and many of them are not even known by creatures, and therefore are as though dead for them. And it's so true. We have so much things in our world that we don't even know that exist, and we don't know, but everything his harmony, so they work together, because this is how it should be. But Jesus also, he say here that he suffer when we don't notice all this beauty, this the works that he does for all of us. And then at the end of the of this volume, of this paragraph, it does an example of when a father cooks and prepares a lot of food for his children, and then the children, they don't even eat it. They don't even want what he cooks, all the variety of food. And so they don't get the right nourishment that they should from all this kind of foods. And this is the same, like Jesus, he give us everything. He gave us all the things that we need. And most of the time, we don't even realize, we don't even want to get it. We ignore all this nourishment that he daily gives us.
Hey, you're talking about, the, in essence, impromptu rounds. And, you know, God gives us a myriad of opportunity. Everything, every moment of our day, we have an opportunity to see something of creation and give thanksgiving to God. And if we do it, of course, in the divine, we're giving it back to God on the level due to God. So again, that doesn't dismiss the importance of praying a complete round as Jesus gave it to Louisa, but these impromptu rounds, again, like you said, sister, helps us remember God, remember the divine will, and give, again, we're making up those voids as we do that. I do have a question though. You said Sister Magdalena was cooking. Was she cooking a Filipino dish? Was she making adobo or pancit, or what was she cooking?
You got it. Adobo, chicken.
Really?
Adobo
chicken? Oh, I like pork adobo, but chicken adobo is very good.
Sisters love it. It's like
really
with rice.
I do too.
There's
yeah,
all rice. The sauce on the rice. We did a lot of Thanksgiving to God today.
Did you have any bok choy too, or just
adobo, rice, and of course it goes with vegetables.
Bok choy.
Vegetables was a little bit simple, huh? Bok choy. Okay. Yes. Well, be close. It wasn't bok choy. It was bietola, Swiss chard, which is closest to the bok choy.
Yes, very nice.
So Swiss chard, very close to that, and then eggplant. Ooh.
Excellent.
And we have chocolate and we had wine.
I'm getting hungry.
Sauce.
Hello, Sister Scholastica.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everybody. So yeah, going back to when you were mentioning earlier about Father Celso, and something else he would like to say a lot is a link to Louisa. You know, he liked to use the word link a lot. And going back to what we were saying, I was thinking also, like, you know, today, Magdalena reminded me that today was 1 year ago that her father passed. And it made me think about, you know, relationships and whatnot. And there was a passage today that I came across. It's from volume 13, September 6, 1921. I'm going to go ahead and skip to the second paragraph towards the end. I'm just going to go right into when Jesus is talking to Louisa. And he says to her, "You must know that every time I manifest to you one more truth about my will, it is one more bond that I form between you and me and with the whole human family. It is a greater union. It is a tighter link. It is sharing my inheritances. And as I manifest them, I form the deed of donation. And in seeing my children richer and sharing in the inheritance, I feel new contentments and I make feast. It happens to me as to a father who possesses much land, and this land is unknown to his children. They do not know that they are children of a father so rich. Now, as the children come of age, the father keeps telling them day after day that he possesses such and such farm. On hearing this, the children make feasts and cling to the father with a greater bond of love. In seeing the feast of the children, the father makes feast and prepares for them another greater surprise, saying to them, 'Such province is mine,' and then 'Such kingdom.' The children are enchanted, and they not only celebrate, but believe themselves fortunate to be the children of this father. And the father not only makes his possessions known to his children, but he constitutes them heirs of his goods. The same happens to me. Up until now, I have made known what my humanity did, its virtues, its pains, in order to constitute the human family as heir of the goods of my humanity. Now, I want to move forward, and I want to make known to it what my will did in my humanity, so as to constitute. They are attentive in listening to me, and do not lose anything of the effects and the value of this will of mine, so that you may be the faithful bearer of these goods, the first link of union with my will and of communication creatures." So again, like, this was beautiful because we've talked about before how the relationship between God and man is pretty much between a parent and a child, because, I mean, God, the eternal father, and then our we have our lady, you know, our mother. Jesus gave her to us as our mother. So I thought this was a really beautiful passage explaining even more the relationship that we have, like a family, a really true family relationship between God and us. Like, he's our father. He loves us. Sometimes he has to show us tough love. And sometimes we don't understand when things, you know, don't go our way or things happen to us. But we have to understand, we got to trust and believe that, you know, we have a good father. So he knows what's best for us. Father knows best. And we just got to trust and continue trying to do to the best of our abilities of, you know, just like dying to ourselves, you know, embracing our nothingness, becoming nothing, giving our fiat and wanting to do the will of God and to live in the will of God and to continue on this road that we're all on to reach heaven. And that's what I said. That's what I was just, that struck me in this passage is this is another great example for us to use with people explaining how God is really our father.
Yeah, beautifully said. You know, you mentioned about Father Celso and about some of the other things he says. One thing that I had difficulty with when I first met Father, when he used to say fiat always, everything's fiat. And I said, even the bad things are fiat. And it took me a while to understand that. And then it really solidified my understanding, well, to much as it can with my peanut mind. But it was from volume 24, May 20th, 1928. And this is our Blessed Lord speaking. Quote, it behooves you to know that everything has been determined by the Supreme Being. Prayers, acts, pains, and sighs that the human creature must do in order to obtain what we desire to give it and for which it sighs, end quote. So everything is a fiat, unless we're intentionally gravitating towards sin, of course. So everything in our lives, even those unpleasant things that happened, even those terrible things that may have happened, those life-threatening things that perhaps we were involved in, all had to happen for us to be here today. And that's really very, very interesting. So the phrase fiat always, yes, it is fiat always, because we don't know how God may take something that we perceive as not being good and make a greater good out of it, because he promises to do so. Sisters?
Hello. And somebody had asked a question, what is the proper way? What was the question?
Proper way
to read the volumes. Well, there is proper order. What we do, we read it the way the Lord gave it to Louisa, because it's a journey. It's a way of life. So as he's forming Louisa, we're being formed. And so it's something that we read, we meditate, you know, and along with the Bible too, you know, we really embrace the whole word of God. And because, you know, to live in the divine will, you know, we have to also know Jesus, have a an intimate relationship with him, you know, have a prayer life. So all of this is a journey. So we start from the beginning. We start from volume 1, 36, and then we go back again once we're done, you know.
Yeah, Sister Benedicta, she mentioned that, you know, that's how I did too, because that's how I wanted to do it. And it's the way my brain's process. But I think some people have heard people that it's easier to read the volume 12 first and then go to a different chapter. So I guess it's different to different people, depending on how, but I don't think there is such thing as a wrong way or a good way, depending on, but reading from volume 1 to the end and then go back is, I didn't find any problems when I was doing it. But Sister Benedicta brought a very important thing, that the most important thing is to just not read it like you, the way we read other books. It needs to be read in a prayerful manner, that it needs to be with utmost attention and respect and not rushed, because it is a prayer. It's from the word of the Lord.
And also it's important, yes, to start. I remember when I start to know divine will, and I went the first time to a meeting about divine will, they started from volume 11 and 12. And is correct, because is the that volumes, these volumes make you enter in the the heart of the divine will. But Sister Benedicta introduced about the means of the journey, the spiritual journey. And from volume 1 to volume 11, all the writings are good for our predisposition to receive the gift, to die to ourselves, to imitate the sacrifice that Jesus and Mary did, and also Luisa did, to understand that also Luisa had a spiritual journey like other saints, surely, but this is divine will is important to meditate and to incarnate the spirit of the family, or the Holy Family. And so since the first volume 1 to volume 11 is a food, spiritual food for us to understand better, not only with the mind, but with the heart, the writings. And after we enter more in the profound of the divine will. And also, I think it's important to sometimes to we use also, I personally use some extract about divine will. How can I know better Our Lady? How can I know better Luisa, the relation between Luisa and Jesus, and also it's important to read at the same time the Hour of the Passion, the Book of Our Lady. Each one of us can use a specific method, but we cannot interrupt the reading of the Holy or the Hour of the Passion, because if we only read the Divine Will, it's a new knowledge that we acquire, but with the meditation of the Holy Passion, the 24 hour of the Passion, it became the gift start to become real, because we are connected to God, to Jesus. If we are not connected to Jesus, it's only a new knowledge and no new life. And also Our Lady in her book teach us how to imitate what Jesus did with the Passion.
Yeah, no, very well said, Sister. And I think, you know, God started with volume 1 and ended with volume 36 for a reason, of course. Now, one way to sort of whet your appetite, though, maybe, you know, there's the calendar that some people use, and that's all the readings for that specific date of the year. You can use that. Also on our website and on other websites, there are sort of themes like the nothingness of the soul. You'll see maybe a compilation of 50 or 60 passages that talk about that. That sometimes will whet your appetite. But yeah, I think, you know, it's preparation, because it's a journey. This is not like a devotion, like Father tells us also. But one thing I think that we must, no matter how we choose or elect to start our journey and continue it, one thing I think is really important, and that's found in volume 36. It's May 19th, 1938. It's our Blessed Lord giving us some really, really serious information here, and very, very vital, I think, information. He says, quote, "So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will find my flames and will be all transformed in love and will love me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and to find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My children, the goodness of my truths produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light, giving sight to their intelligence and the life of sanctity contained in my truths. For those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truths." End quote. So I think that's a really important admonition to remember as we're reading. So we're going to take a short break here, and I'll explain why in a moment. You're listening to the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, coming to us live via live stream from Italy. Be back in a moment.